Lie you not in wait at the righteous one's place, where one comes to rest, may you life not efface. For seven times stumbling, the righteous stands tall, and wicked ones end in calamities all. Proverbs chapter 24, verses 15 and 16. Little children, that's our daily proverb for today from the Ward Green version of 2004. And continuing and finishing off chapter 8 of Trojan War, the article from 2015, this is paragraph 12. The problem of the 9th century dating of the pottery found in Megiddo 5-4 buildings, mentioned by Dame Kathleen Kenyon as a difference between the building period as opposed to the pottery period. But that was what she thought. This is from my notes. This is a long paragraph, a very long paragraph, but we usually have extra time. It should be possible. So where are we? Yeah, there we are, right at the beginning there. But this is from notes, September 4th, 2015, my notebook number 32. Now I'm on notebook 41 these days, but from back then it was notebook 32. So there was a problem, apparently, with the dating of the buildings compared to the dating of the pottery, which seemed to be later, the pottery. Right? But now we can resolve that if we date layers 5-4 of Megiddo to the period of the time of the divided kingdom, which happened in the beginning of the reign of Rehoboam, who was the son of King Solomon, and the ruler of the northern kingdom after the division at that time was Jeroboam. And it wasn't until, that was 977 in our chronology, but it wasn't until 920 when Ahab began to rule. But preceding Ahab was Omri, so we have 940, 930, 920 in that range is what we're looking for this pottery, you would think. If that's the Omride dynasty pottery. And you can see how many difficulties there are, can you not, in attempting to put dates on all these pottery periods and city layers and so on, even if we have radiocarbon. By the way, speaking of radiocarbon, Tofolo 2014 et al., we see he dated the transition of H5, the end of iron, or it's 2A late, iron 2A, which is the region we've been discussing, but it's the end of H5, that layer at Megiddo. It dates to between 900 and 800, let's say, between 9 and 800. So we're in the right ballpark if that's if H5 is the right time period. Iron 2A sounds right. That's the same period, really, as it began sort of either before Solomon or just after Solomon or in the time of Solomon, sometime in that region, because it's a very vague thing. See, we see H5 in Table 2 of Tofolo's work from 2014. H5 is 584B, as it's called. These are the labels of the strata of Megiddo. They were originally established by the University of Chicago, apparently. But it's 5A4B, it's called H5. So that's the right layer we're talking about. Everything is fine with regard to that. Maybe we'll just put that away again. But you see the difficulty. So that's why, I mean, the difficulty in figuring out what means what, or what should be the dated as what, and who are the kings ruling at that time. is it not such a very difficult problem? So that it's very much to our advantage that we have some sort of chronology to start with, which is what we did first. This came after this discussion. When we accept the radiocarbon dating, and we have Shawshank's incursion in 973, which appears to agree with that radiocarbon, then we have this period of 5-4. In the first paragraph here, I'm saying it ends in 925, but that's not right. So, coming down to the next paragraph, correction to previous paragraph, radiocarbon dating of this level places its destruction between 880 and 820. We saw, yeah, about 900 to 800, roughly. That was from Topolo 2014. And there is a 50-year gap following our 9736 end until level 5b. Megiddo expedition chronology. This is the Megiddo expedition. The accumulated evidence continues to favor a late 11th or early 10th century date for this transition. That's that transition caused by the destruction of the campaign of Shawshank, or Shishank, as he's also called, which is dated by them as 46 years or something, like actually 48 years lower than what we have it. Yeah, so, but the essential nature of this, there's a 50-year gap. Yeah, in their chronology in the table here, right, there's a 50-year gap from 6A, which ends in 1100, to 5B, which begins in 1050. There's a 50-year gap. Right, from Harrison's report of 2004. The Megiddo expedition chronology from that table. Thus, in our chronology, the 50-year gap would be down to 923, 50 years after 973, right? And that was King Ahab's time in our chronology, which would be the beginning of 5b, and is it 5a or 5b? 5b. And then, yeah, and 5a, 4b is the time that we've been talking about. Let's go back. Yeah, do we want to look at Tofolo or what? 5a, 4b. Here, in this chronology of Harrison, it ends in 925, which is wrong in our chronology. If it was the time of Ahab, it would end later than that. Okay. Again, we would go down probably about 40 or 50 years. 5a, 4b, according to Tofolo, though, he doesn't agree with that, because we saw the destruction, or no, that's right, he doesn't agree with 920. Topolo's work, 5A4B, was H5, the area H5 corresponded to 5A4B, and H5, as we saw here in the radiocarbon results, area H here, H5, we saw was 900 to 800. It ends closer to 800 than 925. So that's just, so Tofolo agrees with our chronology, not with Harrison, which is so amazing to think of it. If we didn't have our chronology, we would be just floundering, just bouncing back and forth, bouncing around off the walls or whatever. We wouldn't know what to do. This is Ahab's time, 920 to 900 in our chronology. That's the exact time of Ahab in our chronology. And it might be Jehu who established 5A4B, with its great architecture, in the time of Jehu, which is in our chronology 887 to 859, with it ending this great architecture in 850, not likely because that's too short of a period, or maybe after 75 years, as per Harrison in his table. This is Harrison right here again. Yeah. Ending after 75 years right here, 1000 to 925, 5A4B. has a 75-year duration in Harrison. But it, so in our chronology then, if it ended in 850, and it was 75 years, it would have begun 920 with Ahab as king in the northern kingdom. Okay, I don't know. There's so many ways of doing this. Obviously, it's so many different things you could try to evaluate in order to, or there's so many ways you could look at it. You know, it's, but here I'm saying it didn't likely end in 850. So let's say it began in 920 with Ahab, right? Because that's the pottery time period. In the northern kingdom, Ahab ruled in Israel. And we should note something very important here. A lot of times the pottery in Israel is used as a standard for every other place, including Greece and all these other places, all around the area of the Mediterranean, all the countries around that area. It's often that the land of Israel, or the Levant, in other words, the Palestinian area, is used as the standard for the other areas as far as dating the pottery. So it's very important that we get this right, you would think. But how is the question? It's so complex. But Ahab 920 is what we have. 53 years then that would leave. Why 50 years? Oh, because we had 973, right. 973, and then the occupational gap of 53 years down to 920. Let's just call it 50 years or whatever. But then lasting 120 years. What did Harrison say? 175 years? I don't see where I got the 175. Let's see. For Harrison, but anyway. Let's see. Before A ended, according to Harrison, in 800. So, well, that's right. If we took the 800 as ending of 4A, and we took our time of Shoshank, it would be 175 years. Yeah, that's true. But I'm not sure what I meant here when I wrote this, because it's so complex. But the end of... But I just almost sneezed. Hang on a second. Okay, caught myself. 120 years. Where's the 120 years from? Down to 800, I guess, because we talked about it ending about 800, right? I'm not sure. Yeah. The end. Well, we just keep reading. The end of 5:4b, in this case, is not well defined yet. So that the total period might be 90 up to 150 years. Right. 90 up to 150. So 150 from Shoshank would end in 820. From 970 to 820 would be 150 years, right? The so-called stables of Ahab in 4a, which is the more recent, you know. The numbers go backwards in the strata numbers as we go toward the future. So 4 is the latest time, and it's no later than 880 if it's the stables of Ahab, but of course that's after the time of Ahab, right? But the stables could have remained in the city for a while after Ahab, certainly even longer than that. But they may become the stables of Jehu and his sons, because Jehu ruled in the year 887 BCE in our chronology for his year one. And it could be the stables of his sons if... Wait a minute now. Okay, if 5-4b began at the time of Ahab in 920, in the case of 50 years, it's ending in about, 870, if it's 50 years after 920. But also, in the case of 90 years, it could be Jehu and his sons, but it also could be the stables of Jeroboam, who is a later descendant, in the case of 150 years total. 150 years from 970 would be 820. Anyway, there are so many ways of doing it. More study of various scenarios can be considered with regard to the length of the different periods concerned. You see, the study's never even begun, it seems like. Whenever you reread and review the work you've done, it seems like you could start all over again. There's a lot of work to do if we want to ever understand something that's that old. The Omride enclosure at Jezreel, this is the most interesting part of this paragraph, I think, exhibits pottery very similar to that of its own constructional fill. So that suggests that it was built at the time of that pottery, doesn't it? Both typologically similar, in turn, those are, to the pottery assemblages of Megiddo, stratum 5a4b. So this was, that's the challenge. So if this Omride enclosure was built in the time of Omri, who preceded 920 in our chronology, but not by much, if these structures were built sort of after 970, even after 973, but after 977, the time of the beginning of the divided kingdom, year one of Rehoboam and year one of Jeroboam in the north, if it's around 977 for that beginning, then we're sometime in the 940 or 50 region, maybe when they built these structures, or maybe it's 970 or whatever. But they're similar to the pottery assemblages of 5a4b. So that would really be after the time of Solomon, which is sort of a bit of a problem. And that was found, I found that in the book Ahab Antagonist, The Rise and Fall by Lester L. Grab, page 304, 2007. After we finish our study today, I'll look this up again. This book, I haven't had time to do that yet, but there's so many things I can learn after, having been away from it, and also reviewing it, even if I hadn't been away, would be very, sometimes, illuminating. This quote, unquote, Solomonic mirage of Yadin's proposal regarding certain architectural styles, where Yadin thought that certain gates must have been built in the time of Solomon, right? And look at this. Okay, there's another beautiful table in Levy 2005, the book about radiocarbon dating. The Bible and Radiocarbon Dating, 2005, by Levy, Thomas Levy, and I think Thomas Higgum also co-edited this book. This chapter is the debate. This is written by Mazar, I think, this chapter, right? The debate. But whatever it is, you see this beautiful table 2-2 here on page 24. Look at all the different cities, and we can see the correlation of the names of the cities with the Iron Age periods. And by reviewing this table and comparing it with our own discussion of which cities were destroyed by Shishak, we can see the cities that were destroyed by Shishak, this stratum numbers are always corresponding either to the iron 1b or the iron 2a here, one of the two of these two columns. Okay, so that's useful to know. So this pottery at Jezreel, which was one of the main, it was the dwelling place of the kings, even though the capital might have been Samaria, is very important to our understanding of the chronology, because we can say this was where Ahab, you know, was living at the, at, you know, in this time period. It's very important. And this, but the mirage of Yadin's proposal about the gates, okay, was dismissed by Finkelstein and Silberman in a work called David and Solomon, Appendix 3, page 288, 2006. Again, I haven't seen that one recently either. But they note that, this is fascinating, similar, this is the most important aspect of this, perhaps, but it's been swept under the rug, right? But similar mason's marks are borne by the ashlar blocks in the palace at Samaria to the marks on the southern palace at Megiddo. Wow. An unmistakable similarity first noted by the early excavators and subsequently and conveniently forgotten in deference to Mr. Yadin, because it would mean, of course, that it wasn't the time of King Solomon when these gates were built. Nobody wanted to correct Mr. Yadin, apparently, to be, they wanted to be more in keeping with the status quo, I guess, or something like that, or more respectful to Mr. Yadin. Now, cities and the strata at the time of Shishak's incursion, and you can compare, as I did, Levy's book, The Bible and Radiocarbon, this page 24, table, with the table here for all the different cities mentioned, and I don't mention all of them that they have. Now, in their table, they weren't talking about Shishak. Well, yes, he mentioned Shishak, yeah. But he's not saying it. Look what he says. No attempt was made to illustrate the possible subdivision of the Iron 2A period to pre-Shoshank and post-Shoshank subphases. For such an attempt, see Herzog and Singer Avitz. I didn't look for that publication yet. I will have to look for that now. But anyway, we see our city stratum numbers all the way here for these different cities and how they correlated to the time of Shishak's incursion in, not just in our chronology either, but this is in any chronology, these stratum, well, maybe not in any chronology, but yeah, they could easily be dependent on chronology, because you know what date the layer is associated with, possibly by radiocarbon also, so you can't relate it to Shishak unless it's the right date also, so yeah, it does connect. It's not independent of the dating, although there might be a little bit of flexibility. But then we split off Megiddo as a separate city here on the right and showed our different time periods. Stratum 6A, 1150 to 1100 in the standard version is 1150 to 973 in our chronology. And then 5B is the time after Shishak. So there's a big difference there in that time period. And then the 973 beginning of 5A4B could be as low as 932 when 5A4B begins. That would be just before Ahab. So all of that works fine in our chronology. But our dating Megiddo 6 is ending in 973 is in agreement with the statement by Mr. Harrison, even though I got this from his report, too, and his numbers seem to disagree vastly from ours. But we agree with him in this statement he made. He says, the accumulated evidence continues to favor a late 11th or early 10th century date for this transition. Page 12 of the report by Harrison. Right here. This is Stratum 6. You see this? He's attempting to relate Stratum 6 to the 10th century and reassign its destruction to the Shoshank campaign. But he says the accumulated evidence continues to favor a late 11th or early 10th century date. Well, ours is early 10th century, so ours actually has no conflict. So we agree with him because we disagree about Shishak and his date for Shishak. So we actually agree with no problem. Layer 6 ended at the time of Shishak, no problem. And 5b then begins after possibly an occupational gap, right? So Megiddo is the king, though. The other point, okay, Megiddo as a city is so important because it's the king of context, because there are so many different layers that are intact, and it's possible to investigate it using Megiddo as a standard. Among Levantine cities, which makes its radiocarbon results reported weightier, Tofolo being the prime example one would expect by now also, after seeing Tofolo, we have a wonderful, better understanding of everything, right? But then many, his results are weightier, we expect, because Megiddo is so important in its many layers, and so it features this context. So it's more important than many other cities for giving radiocarbon, and the study of its strata is likewise much improved by the radiocarbon, of course, right? Because it gives a relative dating, even if the radiocarbon is inaccurate in some ways, it's not without utility. Notwithstanding this, B4 upholds carbon 14 in all contexts. That's the other thing. How brilliant is the B4 chronology of the Blessed Genealogy, which is what we've been reviewing in this article. We've been talking about B4 because that was a previous article, B4. In this article, Trojan War, we're talking about also a modification of that, but it doesn't affect much of this. And the modification was, of course, quilt work patch. And there was a TWT in the B4 chronology, I think, also. That was where that began, the Time Will Tell chronology, which is a modification, again, of the earlier genealogy. So B4 is the previous one to the article we're writing here, that we're reading here. So the B4 chronology, also called now, it's called quilt work patch in this iteration of this article, the Blessed Genealogy affirms radiocarbon dating on many levels and places Shishak in 973 BCE. And that is so impactful, it seems, when we review all the data that we've been looking at. And it's been a pleasure to review it with you. I think I want to show you this. I redid the graph in the reverse colors so you can see it a little more easy on the easier on the eyes. I mean, to look at it with the reverse colors. And we saw that the end of iron 1 and the beginning of 2A is the average of all those 26 data points was 1065 plus or minus 11 as the standard error of the mean, which is obtained by doing the average of all the 26 numbers, then taking the standard deviation of that average, which was 58, I think, years, dividing by the square root of 26, which gave us 11 years for the standard error of the mean for that line. That shows the span of that, the height of that is very small on that graph. The error of the mean for the end of iron 1 is very close to 1065. And then when we had this other one here, there were 34 points, and I can't remember what the standard deviation was, but it was something like 80 or 90, I think. 90 maybe? And then, so when I averaged all those, and I use my calculator, it's like a $15 calculator, and I have several, many of these, because they were the best I could find. They're scientific. It's got a mode. You go into the standard deviation mode and you can enter each number and press memory plus after each entry, and you get all your entries in there, and then you you do your, you ask the calculator to do the, you know, the average and this, which is the mean, and then you get the standard deviation and so on. It's easy to do it with a calculator. But here, see, the mid-iron 2 was done by taking the average of all the iron 2A results, whereas the iron 1 end average was done using the iron 1 results that were determined as being at the end of iron 1. That's why they were put on the graph by Mazar on page 103 for the first set of results at the top there that are in the green color, or if you can't see color, it's gray, whereas the white ones here are the whole span of iron 2A, which ranges from, you know, even as high as 11 or 1200 here, in even that could be part of iron 2A, all the way down to 500 even BC. So it's a huge range for iron 2A, but the average, the majority of the results fall within this range, about the close to the average here of 865, you know, for the middle of iron 2A, the pottery period. And this work that I used to make the graph was from Israel in Transition, edited by Lester Grab, from 2008, and the chapter was called From 1200 to 850 BCE, and it was written by Mr. Mazar. Okay, that chapter was, and that's where I got the graphs to produce this, and then I added these details about the averages and Shishak's year 973, which falls right between the iron 1 end and the mid iron 2A. So the beginning of iron 2A could have been before Shishak's campaign, or Shishak could have caused the end of iron 1 in some cases of in some of these cities. And that's all we have for today, but you can see how our chronology doesn't have, I mean, it seems to be good, but I don't want to keep hyping it, because it sounds like it's manufactured and fake if I do that, but it has no real issues. It seems like there are way too many issues in chronology in general, but with our chronology, seems to minimize, I guess we should say. Our chronology seems to minimize the issues, and the problems can be better elucidated with the right chronology, so maybe we have it, and only Jehovah knows. But it's August 3rd, 2024 of the Common Era. The time is 1944 hours Eastern Daylight Time. I'm Ward Green. I love you very much. Thank you for listening and watching today. And in my behalf, this is Lib Dusty, and this is Cassie. You're saying bye for now. We've been studying Trojan War. Once again, that was the end of Chapter 8, Paragraph 12 it was. And it's been a pleasure. Chapter 9's coming soon. Stay tuned.